Hello and welcome to the Marketing Showcase podcast. We're at Bramall Lane in Sheffield, our first event of 2026. And a new guest with us. Tell us who you are.
I'm Matt McDonald. I'm Senior Marketing Lead at the University of Huddersfield.
I don't know if we've had someone from university on the Marketing Showcase podcast before. And I'm quite excited that it gives us the opportunity to explore some things that we've probably not really talked about on this podcast, which is great. Before we do that, just give us a little bit of an insight into what your role entails and the kind of stuff that's sort of on your desk that you're working on at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So in kind of to be brief, the role covers everything undergraduate recruitment related and marketing related within the School of Computing and Engineering. So we've got five academic schools at the university. So there's five senior marketing leads. I'm one of five. And yeah, it covers everything from kind of stakeholder management with our academics, event planning, major events like open days, school and college liaison recruitment activity, and then kind of the campaign side of it as well. So end-to-end campaign planning from a school point of view, and also supporting our kind of central undergraduate marketing team with the campaigns that they're running as well. So as with probably everyone you speak to on this, there's a lot going on a day-to-day basis.
I would expect no less.
Yeah.
So what's your background?
Yeah, so the background, it's audience focused mainly. So prior to joining the university, I was audience development officer at Colderdale Museums. So not too far away from where we are today. And that's kind of has always been my passion, really understanding people and you know, within an organisation, understanding who that customer base is and how we can adapt what we offer to them. I then moved across to the university as a marketing data and research officer. So again, it's with that personal, that research element, audience focus, audience insight. And then from that, I've moved up to the senior marketing lead position that I currently hold.
Good stuff. So am I right in thinking that so predominantly your audience that you are trying to engage is kind of 16 to 18?
Yeah, absolutely. That is the primary audience. Yeah, with across the university, it varies. We've got undergraduate, postgraduate study. We've got quite a lot of mature students at Huddersfield. But yeah, in terms of my role, it is absolutely that 16 to 18-year-old audience that I primarily engage with.
I mean, what's that like? Because that just hearing you say that scares the life out of me, because I think I wouldn't know how, you know, what is that audience interested in? How do you get their attention?
Yeah, it's different, and it is a challenge. I think it's probably different to quite a few of the organisations that you might speak to, just because there's things like consent mode, so the fact we're talking to people under 18. There are things that, like, obviously they're heavily in that Gen Z category where the attention span is so limited. Everything is now more kind of centered around user-generated content, and there's a lot of the stuff that we speak about, and I work with colleagues who've been in the industry for two decades, and almost I would say maybe since the pandemic, that traditional kind of marketing approach that we've learned that we've worked in for so long has almost kind of reversed. And so for example, with your creative now, everything you were told about being sleek, being professional, being polished isn't really what that audience is looking for, so you're kind of having to challenge and reverse tack and almost completely change what you're doing, and you're putting campaigns out there that traditionally or when you were learning the sector, you might have thought, god, it looks a bit unpolished, I'm not sure I want to send this out. But actually the insight that we get, and again with the kind of audience background that I'm really passionate about myself, that is what our audience wants to see. They don't mind something being lit. If someone looks a bit nervous on camera, if someone's, you know, their stutters with their lines a little bit, that's actually what they want, because they see that as authentic. And whereas traditionally we would have said that can't go out to market, that's actually now where we should be looking. So yeah, you're reversing what you've maybe spent 10 years plus doing, yeah, in the last few years.
Yeah, this, I mean, some of the stuff that you talk about there just mega scares me. So, you know, that kind of unpolished but authentic, same for me, kind of goes against everything that I've probably through my career sort of prioritised. But then again, I suppose I'm not trying to talk to the audience that you're trying to talk to.
I can give you a really good example if you want, or I think it's a really good example. So we run, you know, we do a lot of campaign reception, brand awareness survey work. We sent out, you know, we released a couple of promo videos promoting an open day. One was kind of had a narration. It was kind of drone shots overview of our campus. What you'd say maybe would be typical, what you've seen probably many times before. And the other one was a current student talking straight to camera, very little outside exterior shots, anything like that. we all thought in the organisation the professional, the drawn, the narrative piece would be far more popular. We do a survey. Which one did you prefer? Which one did you think was better? Which one resonated with you more? And overwhelmingly, the feedback of the student-generated content, where it's a student who looked visibly nervous, struggled with their lines a little bit, and you could tell they were a bit hesitant. That is what our audience wanted to see. And that's like one example. We've got loads to showcase that. But again, with that audience background that I try and build into everything, I really try and emphasise to colleagues that this is what the audience wants to see. And if you don't, I always say, if you don't consider your primary audience with a campaign or with anything you do, I think you're destined to fail.
That is so interesting. The closest thing that I've ever done that I can sort of relate this to a little bit is, so my background's in radio, and I worked at Capital for a while. Felt like an absolute fraud. You know, I'm kind of putting together and kind of creating radio for an audience that I don't have a lot in common with. But it's really kind of interesting to kind of get, you know, a little bit look into that world. And what I thought was interesting about Capital and some other radio stations like KISS do this as well, is that they really are a brand rather than just a radio station. So, you know, you could be engaging with Capital without ever listening to the radio station through the way they do social media, the other kind of content that they put out, and really clever in the way that they kind of do that. And I realize, you know, they're broadcasting to a demographic where brand is really important. So how does that work for you in terms of, you know, kind of building a brand around a university?
It's difficult. And again, obviously, you know, we have a brand that we're proud of and you want to get out there, but it's that brand versus authenticity. Sometimes, again, that traditional brand perception or that brand promotion, brand awareness campaign activity that you might be doing, it's all kind of in the background. And the primary focus or, you know, what we maybe want our brand to be or what our brand should be now is all about that student voice, about being authentic and about being relatable to the audience. So like I kind of said, rather than that corporate really sleek logo, tagline, vision, mission, whatever, it's so much more about people and people within the organisation now, whether they're students or academic staff, getting them out there, getting their stories told, rather than any kind of creative or you know, sleek ad campaign could be. It's just all about it. Traditionally, you might have gone brand first and everything follows. Now it's all about authenticity, and really kind of getting the message out there from the people who are currently kind of part of the organisation, and in turn they're part of the brand.
I imagine you have some great stories to tell all the time.
Absolutely.
And, you know, naturally just incredibly authentic. So that's amazing. Yep. One of the things that we don't end up talking about very much on this podcast is the kind of the events side of things, which I imagine is a big deal for a university.
It's huge. We always say our undergraduate open days are the primary focus. You know, like they're the main thing that we work on, because that is our primary recruitment event. And as I said right at the start, recruitment is essentially what I'm tasked with. You know, the event planning, start to finish, there's so much to it. There's so many challenges with delivering a successful one with the various audiences in mind. So you want to get someone from an inquiry to an applicant, but then at the same time you need to try and get someone from an applicant to an enrolment, and just a continuous cycle that you'll do at an event in, say, June for your September intake. But in September you're straight away starting the next year's applicant cycle. We call it like a continuous cycle, a continuous conversion cycle. There's a lot to it. It's great. I love it.
It's super interesting, because as well I'm thinking kind of 16 to 18, you've got a real range of maturity within that.
Yeah.
So what people are looking for from a live event, and probably how quickly they get bored or how easily they are engaged.
Yeah.
That must be so hard to kind of plan for, because you've got people at very different stages of early adulthood.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other factor that will come into it is, obviously, naturally, our audiences are always or almost always accompanied by a parent or guardian, or somebody kind of looking after them from the day. And I mean, I remember when I was 16 and 17, I didn't want to be seen anywhere with my parents. I wanted to be on my own, or, you know, if I was with them, I wouldn't be asking questions. I wouldn't be sticking my hand up. I wouldn't be putting myself out to speak to people. So one of the things that we're looking at doing now is obviously in a safe and naturally consenting ways, we're looking to separate that out. So we're giving parents and guardians, who naturally they have their own concerns because their kids might be going to university, they might be leaving home for the first time, and in many cases they are. They will have their own questions, but also from lived experiences and from feedback we get from current students, people in that age bracket are often far more comfortable asking questions in an environment where they're kind of on their own, they're away from that parent or guardian influence, but also they're speaking to like-minded people in their own age bracket. So one of the things that we're looking at doing for our upcoming open day is we've got a parent guardian talk for parents, supporters, influencers of a student with a member of academic staff. But then we're also running activities for the students at the same time in a different room, in say, one of our lab spaces, where it'll be a student speaking to the prospective student and really giving them that kind of more comfortable, that open space where there isn't the pressure of somebody senior or of their parent or guardian watching over them. And it's all about putting them in a space where they feel comfortable to ask the questions they need to obviously make what is a crucial decision about whether they study and where they study.
Let's talk a little bit about everyone's favourite subject, GDPR and data.
Yeah.
So I would imagine a really natural kind of thing in my brain where I think about how do you promote kind of open days and stuff would be lots of video and footage from previous open days. Yeah. I also know consent, particularly with under 18s, is a difficult and quite complex situation. Yeah. So how do you deal with that?
It's an absolute minefield.
Yeah.
And We, in short, we can't do what we want to do. We'd love to take loads of pictures of people enjoying the open day, or even an outreach or recruitment event. Happy, smiling faces, engaging with academics, engaging with students. But yeah, just the nature of consent mode, the nature of that GDPR minefield, like I said, just means we can't do that. So you've got to be a bit creative with what you do. You've got to promote your events in different ways. But also it links back to what I said a few moments ago about actually what people are looking for now is they're looking for that authentic voice. So maybe we can get a current student who obviously is beyond that 18 kind of barrier that they might be working for us as an ambassador. They might be just a current student who's gone along to an event. But hearing them speak about their experiences at a previous event that it would be the same event or the equivalent event of something that's upcoming, that's maybe one way you can, I don't want to say get around it. But it's just about trying to be as clever as possible within, obviously, a very, very complicated legal minefield that we really could do with avoiding going down as much as possible.
Okay. So this is the first Marketing Showcase event of the year. So I've been putting everyone on the spot today and asking them about their sort of predictions for this year or the sort of the things that they expect to dominate the conversation. So last year, very much AI.
Yeah.
The year before, probably AI. This year probably will be AI. But
yeah.
Anything outside of that, any kind of predictions or things that you think to be big in the marketing space?
I think, it might be a bias related to the sector that I work in, but I think we're going to see quite a big change across the board with creative. I mean, that kind of user-generated focus. I think we're already pivoting within higher education, and I think that's probably because of the age bracket that we speak to. But I really do think that in a few years' time, maybe even as early as this year, you'll see a lot more what I've described as creative that wouldn't necessarily have been put out in previous years, particularly for organisations speaking to Gen Z, because that's what the Gen Z audience and then Gen Alpha that will follow in a few years' time, that's what they're looking for. And the kind of, in my opinion, the old school marketing of slate polished professional campaign activity isn't a thing of the past, but it's certainly not as trusted and certainly I think won't soon be as dominant as what it is today.
Good stuff. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Not a problem.
To you.
Yeah,
if anyone wants to follow up and keep tabs on what you're up to, what's the best way for them to do that?
LinkedIn would be best. I'm Matt McDonald, Senior Marketing Lead at the University of Huddersfield. Hit me up on there and I'm more than happy to speak to anybody who would like to.
Awesome. Thank you for your time.
No, thanks, James. Cheers. Appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels, and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.